If you have your Bible with you tonight, please turn to the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And then when you find that portion of Scripture, turn over to Acts chapter 4. I want to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 9, and then one verse, a very familiar verse, from Acts chapter 4. Very simply tonight, I want to preach upon the subject, saved. 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 But let's read the Word of God first of all. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, that's behind the Lord Jesus, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. I want you to underline that little phrase. I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Underline that. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The words of Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking of Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Underline those words. Whereby we must be saved. Let's bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach the gospel tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the simplicity of the message of the gospel. And we pray, Lord, tonight as we seek to preach the gospel message that you would help us to preach it simply. So simply that even the smallest child in this meeting can understand the claims of Christ. But, O God, help us to preach it solemnly. We recognize that while some may be hearing it for the first time, others may be hearing it for the last time. Therefore, help us, Lord, to have that solemnity as we seek to present the gospel this evening. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege. And what a great honor and privilege it is to preach Christ and him crucified. Oh God, we pray tonight that you would fill us to overflowing and help us, Lord, above all. Whatever else we may do in this meeting, help us to point men to Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. For Lord, we know that salvation is only found in Christ. Oh God, we thank thee and we praise thee. However, that we have a wonderful message to preach, that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Bless us now. Remember the dear unsaved in the meeting, especially. Oh God, speak to their heart and draw them out after yourself. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The word saved and the term to be saved are much mocked and laughed at in this 21st century. Believe it or not, even in religious circles, many who profess to believe the Bible refuse to use this word saved. However, we're going to find out tonight, for a Christian to say that they're saved is a very scriptural thing to say. In a few moments' time, we're going to see what this word saved means in the context of Bible teaching. But before we do that, let me say very dogmatically, all men, if they're ever going to get into heaven, must be saved. No one will ever reach the courts of glory. No one will ever escape the flames of hell unless they are saved by the grace of God. Now I know that most of you here tonight know that very well. I'm not preaching a message that most of you have never heard before. But believe it or not, the majority who live in Ulster, the majority who live in this island of Ireland, the majority who live in this United Kingdom, indeed the majority who live in this world tonight, they don't believe that you need to be saved. Therefore, the simple but dogmatic question that I want to ask everyone in this gospel meeting tonight is this. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? As we come to deal with the subject tonight, I want to look at it very simply. And I want to draw your attention to three things. First of all, we're going to consider the use of this word saved in the Bible. Then we're going to consider, secondly, the meaning of this word saved in the Bible. And then thirdly, we're going to consider the rejection of this word saved in the Bible. And I pray that as we preach the gospel tonight, that the Lord will speak to your heart and that the Lord would reveal unto you your need of God's salvation. Because my friend, until you see your need of God's salvation, then you will never be saved. And that's the problem in Ulster tonight. That's the problem in Ireland tonight. That's the problem in this United Kingdom tonight. That's the problem across this world tonight. Men and women do not feel their need of God's salvation. But I pray this evening that before this meeting is over, even now as you sit and listen to this message, that you will feel your need to be saved. Let me draw your attention, first of all, to the use of the word saved in the Bible. Now, time tonight would not allow us to read all the verses in the Bible where this word saved is used. But I want to read a number of verses to you, and the reason why I want to read them out is simply to emphasize to you how many times this word saved is used in the Word of God. It is a scriptural word. It is a biblical term to be saved. And it's so important that you tonight, especially if you're not converted, that you see this for yourself in the Word of God. Matthew 1 verse 21. Let me just read the verses. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Luke 19 verse 10. We read these words. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." John 3 verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Acts 2 verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Acts 16 verse 30 and 31. "What must I do to be saved?" the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas. And then Paul and Silas replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Romans 5 verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Romans 10 verse 1 and verse 13. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 and 2. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Ephesians 2 verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Titus 3 verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy He saved us. And one verse only out of the Old Testament, Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, that he cannot save. There we have a number of verses in the Bible, and they're just a selection of verses. Indeed, at least 47 times the word saved is recorded in the New Testament in relation to the saving of the soul. My friend, with such a volume of references, how can any man doubt or say that they do not need to be saved before getting into heaven? Friend, answer this question. If you don't need to be saved, why does the Bible speak so much about being saved? Well, I know, and I've already made reference to it. Let me say it again. The majority in this world tonight, even in this province of ours, they do not believe that you need to be saved to get into heaven. They do not believe that you need to be saved to escape hell. But they're wrong. Because the Bible, and we have only read a selection of verses, the Bible, right from Genesis to Revelation, declares very simply but very dogmatically man's great need of God's salvation. And why do you and I need to be saved tonight? We need to be saved tonight because we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are a sinner and I am a sinner. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were born with a sinful nature. In sin did our mothers conceive us. And the very moment we were born into this world, we were born those who were separated from God, estranged from God, enemies of God because of sin. And this is the reason why men and women need God's wonderful salvation. So let me encourage you, especially those of you who are not saved, let me encourage you to read your Bible. Read the New Testament. Read the Old Testament. And as you read the Word of God, underline all the verses, all the passages that God speaks about salvation and the need of the sinner to be saved and born again of the Spirit of God. Now, secondly, what does it mean to be saved? Well, the Oxford Dictionary's definition of the word saved is as follows. Listen to this. And I'm sure that you could tell me what the word saved means. Even the children in the meeting could probably tell me what the word saved means. It means to deliver. It means to rescue. It means to preserve from danger. Let me give you an example. If I see a child standing in the middle of the road about to be knocked down by a car, if I run and save the child from being run over, I have delivered that child. I have rescued that child. I have preserved that child from the danger it was in. In other words, the child has been saved from pending danger. And that is what it means to be saved physically. If you save me from a building that is burning, a building on fire, then you have saved me. You have rescued me. You have delivered me. You have preserved me from the danger that I was in. However, when we think of the word saved in a spiritual sense, it means something even greater. When a man or woman is saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that they have been delivered from the guilt and power of sin, that they have been rescued from the destruction and judgment of eternal hell, and that they have been preserved from going out into eternity as a lost soul. Therefore, spiritual salvation means God saving the soul from hell and judgment to come. You see, the Bible states clearly that man is on the broad road, which is leading to destruction. The reason why man is traveling on this broad road is because he's a sinner. His sin is going to bring him down into a lost eternity. His sin is so great that he cannot deliver himself from the danger that he's in. He is just like someone who is tied to a conveyor belt.
heading towards an open furnace. And unless someone steps in and saves the sinner or rescues and delivers the sinner, then they are lost forever. Therefore, when I say that I'm saved, what I'm literally saying is that I have been delivered and rescued from hell, and that I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And the Lord has reached down and the Lord has plucked me as a brand from the burning. Because as our text tells us in Acts 4 verse 12, the only one that can save us from hell and judgment to come and save us from our sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Peter said. This wonderful text of scripture. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior, because Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, having considered what I've said so far, are you saved? Have you been rescued from the danger of hellfire? Have you been saved from perishing in your sin? Is your soul safe tonight in Christ? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Do you know that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? Or are you still in your sin? Are you still in danger of losing your soul? My friend, a very simple question. And really, it's a very simple answer. Because it's either, yes, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, or I'm not saved and I'm going to hell. Now, it's as simple as that. Don't try to complicate it. Religion complicates the gospel. Did you know that? Many churchmen complicate the gospel. Many clergymen complicate the gospel. My friend, the gospel is not a complicated message. You're a sinner and you need to be saved. And only Jesus Christ can save you. And when you come and accept Christ as your Savior, repenting your sin and by faith accepting Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer, He saves you. That's simple, isn't it? But this word saved, when we think of it in a spiritual sense, means something more. I want you to listen very carefully here. It means not only to be delivered from pending judgment, but it also means to be made whole or to be made righteous. Now we read that portion of scripture. Just turn over to it in Matthew's Gospel chapter 9 about the woman with the issue of blood. I want you to take a look at verses 21 and 22. We read these words. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. The phrase shall be whole in this text is the same Greek word that is used in Acts 4 verse 12 when Peter speaks about being saved. Therefore, we could read the text like this. Listen, for she said within herself, if I but touch his garment, I shall be saved. Therefore, when I say that I'm saved, not only do I mean that I have been delivered and rescued from eternal hell, but I mean that through the merits of Christ's blood, I have been made whole. I have been made righteous. In other words, I have been made righteous before God through Christ. My life has been changed, my sins have been forgiven, and I stand perfect before God through the Lord Jesus. So not only does the Lord take away my sin when I get saved, but the Lord makes me whole. The Lord cleanses me from the guilt of sin. And the Lord redeems me for time and for eternity. I receive the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks upon the saved sinner, He doesn't see sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the blood of the Lamb. Oh, friend, tonight, are you covered in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? Are you redeemed for time and for eternity? Dr. Alan Kearns, in his Dictionary of Theological Terms, under the section of salvation, puts it like this. Here's his definition of being saved. Listen to this. The scriptures show fallen man in a dead and desperate state. He needs to be saved, or he must perish. But being depraved and dead in sins, he cannot do a thing to effect his own salvation. Only Jesus Christ can save. Christ's whole purpose in coming into the world was salvation, and this he purchased by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. The only merit upon which a sinner may be saved is Christ's merit. Even the act of faith by which a man reaches out and receives Christ is a divine gift given on the grounds of his righteousness. The salvation which Christ imparts to his people is all-embracing. As to time, it deals with the past, the present, and the future. As to the entire man, it deals with the spirit, soul, and body. It gives us a new legal standing, makes us partakers of the divine nature, renewing us after the image of God, and assures us of eternity with Christ in heaven. He has gone to prepare. In the heaven, he has gone to prepare. It is an irreversible work. The scripture speaks of the lost being saved, but never the saved being lost. End of quotation. Why is it any wonder that I say tonight, God's salvation is wonderful. I'm saved not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. Now let me ask you the question again. Are you saved in the biblical sense of the word? Do you know you're saved? If you were to die now, would you go to heaven? Would you be assured of escaping hell if God was to take the last breath from your body just now? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Are you sure that heaven is your home? These are questions that only you can answer. I can't answer them for you. And you can't answer them for me. Only you can answer these questions yourself. But I'll tell you this, friend, there's no greater privilege in this world than to be able to say that you're saved by the grace of God. There's no greater privilege. I can say tonight that my sins, which were many, are forgiven. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price of my redemption upon the cross of Calvary. He has shed his precious blood for my sins. And because of the work that he has accomplished on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, I'm saved. And I'm saved for all eternity. No one can take my salvation from me. No one can rob me of my salvation. Because Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Preacher, I would love to be saved tonight. Is that what you're saying? How do I get saved? Well, Acts 16, verse 30 and 31 tells us. That's the question that the jailer asked. He said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas says, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe. What does it mean to believe? To believe means to receive Christ into your heart as your Savior. For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do we receive Christ into our hearts? By faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is faith? Faith is forsaking all and trusting Christ. Faith is forsaking all and trusting the word of God. Trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you in the place called Calvary. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do for you and me on the place called Calvary? He shed his precious blood for our sins. He died the just for the unjust. He made an atonement for our souls. That's what he did. He finished the work of redemption. Thank God, because of what he has done upon the cross, and on that work alone, you can be saved, and I can be saved. And all we have to do tonight is come in repentance, repent our sin, and by faith trust in what the Lord Jesus has accomplished for us. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. That's how you're saved, friend. Would you come and be saved tonight? Oh, the use of the word in the Bible. It's found everywhere in the Bible, this word saved. You can't deny that sinners need to be saved. Because to deny it is to deny the Bible and the meaning of it. Oh, the meaning of it. The meaning is that you're rescued, that you're delivered from hell and from judgment to come, and you receive the righteousness of Christ. You're made whole. You're made righteous before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn back to Acts chapter 4 again. Because just before we bring the meeting to a close, I want you to notice the rejection of the word saved in the Bible. Really, what I want to emphasize here is the rejection of God's way of salvation. If men do not believe that they need to be saved in order to get into heaven and escape hell, then they are rejecting God's way of salvation. If someone tells you that you don't need to get saved to get into heaven, then they're rejecting God's way of salvation. I don't care who that person is. He may be an atheist. He may be a cleric. He may be a minister. He may be someone that goes to church every week. You said to me, sure, someone that goes to church every week would believe in being saved, would they? Friend, I know people who go to church every week and they don't believe in being saved. Now, what they hear when they go to church, don't ask me. But they don't believe in being saved. Because I have spoken to them, religious people, and I've spoken to them on their deathbed, and I've spoken to them in the winter of life. I've spoken to them when they've only got weeks to live. And they have rejected God's salvation. And you know, that's what happened here. When Peter preached in Acts 4 verse 12, you see, Peter's preaching here God's salvation through Jesus Christ, telling the sinners here that they need to be saved. Now, look what happened after he preached his sermon. Look at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They couldn't deny that God had been at work. But that it spread no further. Look at verse 17. Here's their rejection of this word saved. It spread no further among the people. Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. My friend, those are among some of the saddest words that you'll read in the Bible. For if I were to sum them up, I would sum them up like this. These men rejected the message of the gospel. And they rejected the means of grace whereby they would be saved. They did not believe that they needed to be saved. They did not want this message about being saved through Jesus Christ alone preached to them anymore. And they forbid Peter and John and the other disciples, they forbid them to preach anymore in the name of Jesus about being saved. Of course, Peter and John and the other disciples did not listen to their counsel because they went on preaching. But the point I want to drive home at the end of this message is this, that just because the Bible declares you need to be saved, that just because the Bible explains how you can be saved, and just because the Bible sets forth clearly the need of man to be saved, doesn't mean that all will receive the message of the gospel. The majority will reject it. Are you rejecting it tonight? If you're not saved, you're rejecting the message of saving grace. By walking out of this meeting again tonight unsaved, what you're saying is, I don't need to be saved. That saved business that preacher's talking about, it's all right for the down and out, it's all right for the drunkard, it's all right for the deep, dyed sinner. who's in the depths of depravity, but, well, I don't need it. My friend, you do need it tonight. Let me impress that upon your heart. Let me impress that upon your soul. You do need God's salvation this evening, more than you realize. Oh, I pray that God will open up your eyes this evening, and I pray that you will see your spiritual state and your spiritual standing before God. You're a sinner, and you need to be saved. And you need it more than life itself. You need it more than life itself. And there's only one who can save you. And that's not the minister or the preacher, but that's the Lord Jesus. Listen to the words again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Come to Christ tonight. Put your faith and trust in Him. And then you can leave this meeting knowing that you're on your way to heaven. But friend, don't say you don't need to be saved. Whatever's holding you back, whatever's keeping you away from Christ, throw it to the one side. You know, friend, you're in sympathetic company tonight. We all want you to be saved. We love you in the Lord. And the reason why we preach so is because we love you in the Lord. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe what the Scriptures teach, and especially regarding God's salvation. We believe it with all our hearts. And what we have received, we want you to receive. And thank God you can receive God's salvation this evening. Just come as a little child. Come humbly. Come confessing your sin. Come the way of the cross. Come and trust Him. And thank God you can leave God's house tonight redeemed. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Friend, you must be saved. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the wonderful message of the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, that it's old yet ever new. Oh God, we thank Thee for the privilege of preaching this wonderful message. We thank Thee, Lord, for the honor that You've given to us to preach Christ and Him crucified. Oh God, I pray tonight that there might be those in this meeting who will throw down their puny arms of rebellion, and in humility and in repentance and in faith, that they will flee to Christ for eternal salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, that like the woman with the issue of blood, all the sinner has to do is to touch the hem of his garment. They too shall be whole. They too shall be saved. They too shall be made righteous. O God, may they touch by faith tonight the Christ of God. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.